And he said, if you can't hear from the Lord, he said, steal from the best. I won't tell you who that preacher was, but you'd probably know him. Acts chapter 3, verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting, everybody say expecting, to receive something. There it is. Expecting to receive something. Amen. That's what we're going to preach about tonight. Expecting to receive something. Did anybody come expecting to receive something? If you did, you won't be disappointed. If you didn't, you probably won't be disappointed. Amen. But I hope you came tonight expecting to receive something. Hallelujah. Great expectations. Jesus exceeds our expectations. Amen. The Lord bless you. And you may be seated. Faith. Everybody has faith tonight. Everybody does. Everybody here's got faith. Amen. If I drop something on the floor, I expect that I'll be able to pick that up. And I'll be really disappointed if I can't. I'm expecting to, you see. I have faith that I can bend down there and pick that up. Brother Hunt, would you get the numbers? it's just harder to pick stuff up sometimes now. Things get in the way. And you, while you're down there, you wonder if there's anything else you ought to do. So you don't have to make another trip. And that's faith in self. It's okay. You need to have some confidence that you can do things. That's a good thing. We have faith in the electric company. How many believe that if I turn this switch, lights are going to go out? It worked, didn't it? Now I have faith. Sister Looney paid the bill. And that when I flip this switch, the light's going to come back on. And it did. So we have faith. So we have faith in these realms. I have faith that when I get in the car and turn the key, that it's going to start. I have faith in Toyota. And so you can have faith in a lot of things. But there's nothing like having faith in God. Hallelujah. That's the greatest faith that you'll ever have, is to have faith in God. And it's the greatest faith there is. You say, well, I don't know how I can have faith in something I can't see. How many have seen electricity? Oh, you haven't. You've seen what it does, but you haven't seen electricity. Amen. I've seen what God does. I'm looking at it right now. But I haven't seen God. I've heard people use that excuse. I just can't believe in something I can't see. But you do it all day long. There's a lot of things you can't see. Well, I don't know if I can believe in something I don't understand. How many understand electricity tonight? Do you understand it? No, but you use it. Every day. All day long. Do you understand how your car operates when you turn the key on? If you don't understand it, you may not, but you use it all the time. Don't tell me that you can't use things and to believe in things that you don't understand. You do it all the time. You turn on the radio, or God forbid, a television. You don't understand. I don't understand how that works. I don't. I don't know how that little box can draw voices out of the air. But it does. I don't know how that happens. I don't understand that. But it works, doesn't it? So there's all kinds of things that we don't understand, but we use those things. But when it comes to God, some people say, well, you know, I don't believe in something I can't see, and of course they do, and I don't believe in something I don't understand. Well, I'll tell you, we've got the manual right here if you want to understand it. All you got to do is read the handbook. Read the manual and you'll understand Him a whole lot better if you'll just read His Word. You're not ever going to figure Him out. You'll never really understand all there is to know about God. If you do, your God's too small. I don't want a God that I can figure out. I don't want a God that I can just I can manipulate. I want a God that's a God that's sovereign and majestic and mighty and greater than I am. And that's the kind of God that I serve. The Bible tells us of a little lady that had a sickness. The Bible said that she had a sickness and she had had it for 12 long years. That's a long time to be sick. And the Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians. And Brother Fry told you, you go to the doctor, you suffer. They start sticking you with stuff. First thing they do is want to stick you on a scale. And that's bad enough. You talk about humiliation. And God forbid if they furnish you with clothes. One man I know, he'd never had one of those robes before. He didn't know how to put it on, so he put it on backwards and he was in trouble. So the Bible said she suffered many things of many physicians. And you think it's bad now, it used to be worse. They used to think that they could just drain some of your blood and it'd make you well. Well, they'd just slice it open and start draining, hoping they could shut it off sometime. I mean, she suffered treatments from doctors, and the Bible said that she spent all she had. I really understand that, if you've been to a doctor lately. Yeah, man, it was all gone. But the Scripture said that she grew worse instead of better. And this is my favorite part of the whole story. Verse 27, it said that when she had heard of Jesus, somebody told her about Jesus. I don't know who it was. Doesn't tell us who it was. I don't know who the witness was. That's why we just need to tell people about the Lord. And don't get too excited if they don't just rush over to church with you. Amen. Praise God. And you can invite people and they may not come. But listen to me. You tell the Lord to invite them. I've invited some folks to come and they didn't. And so I just asked the Lord. I said, "Now, Lord, I've invited them, but now I'm going to ask you to invite them." He's a whole lot more persuasive than we are. He knows how to talk to folks in a way that we don't know how to talk to people. He can motivate people in a way that we cannot. I know what I'm talking about because I know how the Lord used to talk to me when I didn't want to listen. And He'd call me in the middle of the night and He'd disturb my sleep. Him and I remember he would put a burden on my mama's heart and she'd start praying for me. And I'd get a pillow and put it over my head and try to drown out that sound, but it wouldn't work. Amen. I could hear her praying and I could feel conviction. Amen. And so you just ask God to get a hold of folks and He has a way of doing it. Amen. And so she heard from somebody, she heard about Jesus. And the Bible says that she came to check it out. And when she got there, there was a crowd that showed up that day. And she had a hard time getting to Jesus. But when she saw Him, I don't know where it came from, but something said to her that if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. You see, Jewish men have this blue ribbon that they were supposed to wear around the bottom of their robe because that was a symbol of mercy. And she knew in her heart, she said, if I can just touch that little ribbon, that symbol of mercy, I know that I'll be made whole. And she did that. I don't know how she did, but somehow she pressed her way through. And hear me today. Whatever you've got to do to make your way to God, it's worth it. Whatever you have to get through. And some people, have to get through a lot. Some people have a lot of stuff in their way before they get to God. They've got all kinds of obstacles in the way. But if you'll just keep pressing through, you will get there. And you will make it. And it will be worth the journey when you touch Him. So she reached out her hand and she touched that ribbon of blue. And when she touched that, without a word, something began to flow down through her body, and instantly the hemorrhage that had been there for 12 years stopped, and the blood ceased to flow out of her body, and she instantly felt a surge of strength and health and wholeness, and she stood up and began to back her way through the crowd. And Jesus stopped and asked the question. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" Somebody did. Of course, you know the reply of the disciples. Said, "Well, man, there's people all around you, Master. There's a whole lot of people here." And then Jesus said that, He said, "I felt virtue go out of me." Let me say, when Jesus heals you, it cost Him something. When Jesus forgives you, it cost Him something. When God saves you, it cost Him something. It takes something out of Him when He ministered. He gave it all for us. It cost Him His life. It cost Him His blood. He received stripes for our healing. So it cost Him something tonight. Amen. We talk about salvation is free. Well, it might be for us, but it wasn't for Him. It cost Him something. Let's not cheapen salvation tonight, but let's always appreciate the price that He paid so that you and I could receive so great salvation. When she heard that, the Bible said that she began to tremble and she was fearful, but she knew that something had happened. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you, when God touches you, you may not understand what happened, but you'll know that something happened. There'll not be any doubt in your mind that something happened. Amen. Praise God. We used to sing a song that something got a hold of me. I went there to doubt, but I left there with a shout because something got a hold of me. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. You know what? It's been 44 years and it's still got a hold of me. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't ever want it to let go. And so she felt something. She came with fear and trembling into the presence of the Lord. The Bible said that she came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." She believed that if she could touch Him, she would be made whole, and she was. But then He added a bonus. He said, "Go in peace." Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. The peace is worth more than the healing. I'd rather have the peace of God than be sick, than to be healed and be miserable. There's nothing in my life that I treasure more than the peace of God. Amen. Trouble all around does not bother me as long as I have the peace of God. Amen. That's what I treasure the most, is His peace. And so the Lord said, "You came for healing and you got it, but I'm going to send you home with something more." He exceeded her expectations. He said, "I'm going to give you peace." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, so give I you. My peace I give unto you." Amen. The world, the kind of peace it gives us, simply the absence of trouble. But that never lasts very long. Amen. But Jesus gives you a peace that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulties, that peace is still there. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Anybody experience that peace in your life? Aren't you so thankful tonight for the peace of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace that you give to us. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He was on his way to the feast of the Passover for the last time. He would never leave Jerusalem in his physical body like that again. He was on his way to his destiny with the cross and a resurrection. But as he made his way to Jerusalem, he went through Jericho and began that long climb up the mountain to Jerusalem. As he entered into Jericho, I don't know who was with him. His disciples were there, the Bible said. But as they went, more and more people began to join him. And by the time he reached the outskirts of town on the other side, there was a multitude with him. And as he made his journey, there was a man sitting beside the road that was blind. Hallelujah. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to call out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And people said, "Bartimaeus, just be quiet, son. There's enough racket as it is. He can't hear you anyway." And he lifted up his voice all the more and cried out all the louder. And people were just rude to him. I don't know his real name. The word Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. So I know his daddy's name was Timaeus. I'm not sure what his name was. Maybe it was. He may have went through his whole life being called the son of Timaeus. I don't know. But I know that's how we identify him. And so everybody's telling him to shut up. And he keeps crying louder. Hallelujah. Service one time, the Holy Ghost got to moving and this little lady started shouting. It got time to change the order of the service and she was still shouting. And the pastor said, "Sister, would you please sit down?" And she kept shouting. And he raised his voice. He said, "Sister, I ask you to sit down." And she kept shouting. And finally, he just got pretty rude. He said, "Sister, sit down." And she kept shouting. And he said, "That's what I call dancing in the Holy Ghost." There's a time to recognize the Holy Ghost. Now, if it was rebellion, that's a different story. You can recognize that too. Amen. I said, you can recognize that too. Praise the Lord. Don't think people can't see through that. Because they can. And so he said, that's the Holy Ghost. So they were telling Bartimaeus, "Hush up, Bartimaeus!" And suddenly Jesus stopped. And I love this story. He said, "Bring that man to me." Watch this. This is so neat. Isn't it amazing how people change? Here they've been rude to Bartimaeus. And they've been unkind to Bartimaeus. And now they go over and listen to what they say. It says, they come over and they say, "Be of good comfort. Arise. He's calling for you. Here, let me help you, Bartimaeus." And all of a sudden, they've been rude. But when the spotlight gets on Bartimaeus and they see that he's going to be in the limelight, they want to be in the limelight. You ever seen people like that? Him, and all of a sudden, they switch sides. And here, they've been rude, and all of a sudden, they get kind. It bothers me when rude people start being kind to me. When people that have not been my friend all of a sudden want to be my friend. Say, what's changed here? People that would never call your name and all of a sudden they know who you are and act like you're important to them. Either they really prayed through, which is possible, Or they think that I've come into something. And sometimes it has to do with who you're with. Well, I've got to quit meddling and get back to preaching. Now, I like this part of the story. The Bible says that they come and they're bringing him to Jesus. And here's what I like. The Bible says, and he, casting away his garment. Now, why in the world did he do that? He just took his garment, his old outer cloak, and he just threw it down. And then he got up and he came to Jesus. That was his beggar's cloak. And before he ever got on his feet, he said, I'm not going to need that anymore. Now that's how you come to the Lord. You come to the Lord. I remember the night I got the Holy Ghost. In my head, I was saying, I'm going to go get the Holy Ghost. I didn't say I'm going to go pray for the Holy Ghost. I didn't say I'm going to go seek the Holy Ghost. I didn't say I'm going to go down there and hope I get the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm going to go get the Holy Ghost. And so Bartimaeus, that was his what he was saying in his head. He was saying, I'm laying that aside because I'm not going to need that anymore. Praise God. When I leave here, I'm going to be a different person than when I came. And his mind's made up. Something is going to happen when I get to Jesus. And so he goes to the Lord. And the Lord asks him a question. He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want, Bartimaeus? And he didn't even stutter. He just said, Lord, I want to see. I like that. He didn't say, just a touch, Jesus, just a touch. No, sir. He didn't say that. He didn't ask for something else. He didn't ask for a new beggar's cloak. He didn't ask for money. He said, I want to see. Amen. And Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. Amen. And all of a sudden, his eyeballs opened up. And he could see clearly. Amen. But you know what? He didn't go his way. He followed Jesus in the way. You see, what he was saying was, I'm leaving that behind. That what I used to be. Now Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the feast. Undoubtedly, Bartimaeus was there with his newfound sight. And one of the ugliest things he ever saw was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And one of the most glorious things he ever saw was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. There was something that the Lord put into Bartimaeus. He got a whole lot more than he bargained for. I've never met anybody that was disappointed with the Lord when they received the Holy Ghost. I've met a lot of people that got the Holy Ghost. Thousands of them. But I've never met anybody that said, oh, I'm so sorry that I got the Holy Ghost. This is not near as good as what I thought it was going to be. I'm so disappointed that I've received the Holy Ghost. I wish I had never received the Holy Ghost. I've never heard anybody say that. Amen. I've heard them say, my sister recently came back to the Lord after being away for a number of years. And every time I see her, she said, oh, I just wish I hadn't waited so long. Hallelujah. What are you waiting for tonight? Somebody that's been waiting around here, what in the world are you waiting for? This is so much better than what you have right now. I promise, if you'll try it, you're going to like it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Bartimaeus found much more than he thought he was going to receive. Amen. One more illustration tonight. Amen. There was a lame man, and I read about him a few minutes ago. And as the scripture indicates, he went to the same place, apparently, every day to do his begging. And so he had somebody that was carrying him and bringing him to his begging place at this beautiful gate where people came, and it was almost time for prayer meeting, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they were bringing this man to put him at his begging place so that hopefully he could get his cup full. So they brought him and they put him, getting ready to put him in place, and Peter and John saw him and they came over to where he was. And they initiated a conversation, and they said to that man, they said, look on us. Amen. Look on us. Praise the Lord. And when he looked up and he saw them, Peter said to him, he said, the Bible said, and I read that part, he said, he was expecting to receive something. Now what he was expecting was to receive something in his cup. We used to sing a song, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. And I hope I've ruined that song for you. If I haven't, I'm going to try again. Amen. We are not living in the days of the cup. Now that's a pretty song. And I don't mean to in any way to take anything away, but that's a beautiful song. But its theology is wrong. The theology is wrong. We don't live in the days of a cup. Jesus, when he talked about the Holy Ghost, he didn't say, it's going to be like a cup inside of you. He said, it's going to be a river of living water springing up. That's a lot better than a cup. Amen. If God had given us a cup every time we had service, and some people I think still believe that. Every time we have a church, you bring your cup to church and you say, I'm here, Lord, fill it up. Amen. And then you hope it lasts till you get home and you don't spill it. Or you'll be like the guy in the prayer room that was saying, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord. And another voice said, don't do it, Jesus. He leaks. Don't waste your time. Praise the... Hey, we don't have a cup salvation. We've got a river salvation. Amen. It's not just a little old cup that you get full, but it's a river that flows out of you. Hallelujah. So he came with his cup and he lifted up his cup and he was getting ready to have his cup filled. Amen. And Peter said, oh, no. We don't have any of that. Silver and gold have I none, but this well that I got on the inside, such as I do have, I'm getting ready to let you have it. Hallelujah. And he reached down and got him by the hand, and he jerked him up on his feet, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Woo! He wasn't expecting that. I don't know what happened to the cup. But the Bible said he started walking, and then he started leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. He ran into the temple, and everybody saw him bouncing around, praising God at the top of his voice. And they looked and they said, hey, didn't we just pass him on the outside? Hey, I dropped a few coins in his cup. Is that the same fella? That's him. Amen. He got so much more than he bargained for. Hallelujah. Amen. He grabbed a hold of Peter and John and he latched onto them like a leech. Amen. And he wanted to be their friend. Woo! Amen. All he thought he was going to get was a few more coins, but he got a brand new life. And a whole load of responsibility. Amen. You know that fellow, remember that one guy Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? You know what that means, don't you? You got to get up and go to work. Ooh. Are you sure? Do you want to be made whole? And it's pretty cushy right now if somebody brings and drops you down here and you hold that cup all day. And everybody feels sorry for you and get a lot of attention. But if I heal you, all this is going to change. Nobody's going to look have pity on you anymore. Nobody's going to feel, some people like to be felt sorry for. Shake your head like this. That's right, Brother Christian. There are some people that love pity. People just love to be pitied. Love people to feel sorry for them. Amen. They've always got a sad story to tell. Amen. And they've always got it bad, worse than anybody else. If you tell them a story, they're going to tell you a worse story. If something happened to you, something worse happened to them. If you've got something bad, they've got something worse. Amen. If you're getting ready to die, they've already been dead and resurrected and get ready to die again. I mean, they've always got it worse than you got it somehow or some way or other. Amen. So Jesus said, do you really want to be healed? Well, it cost him something. Amen. It almost cost Jesus' life. That fellow almost got him killed. You know what? He did. But back to this fellow, he got more than he expected. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. God, not only, he didn't give him coins in his cup, but he gave him healing in his body and salvation in his soul. Amen. He got more than he ever expected. I'm telling you, when you deal with God, you'll not be leave disappointed. He'll always give you more than you expected. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? When you come to church, you not only get saved, but you get a family that cares about you. You get people that love you. You get people that'll pray for you. You get people that'll help you. Amen. That's right. You get people that genuinely care about you. Amen. Somebody said, oh, well, I have to leave my friends in the world. No, you won't. You won't have to leave them because they'll leave you. But you know what? You get a whole family to replace all of that. Praise the Lord. You get something so much better than what you left. He always exceeds our expectations. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. God always exceeds your expectations. It doesn't matter what you were expecting when you came. You're going to get more than you bargained for if you just give God an opportunity tonight. Praise the Lord. If you'll just give Him the chance, I promise you, He'll do more than fill your cup. Amen. He's going to put a spring in there so it's going to flow. Glory. Amen. It's a well of water springing up and the everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know that David said, he said, my cup runneth over. One little boy was trying to learn the 23rd Psalm. He said, and my cup got runned over. Amen. But we're not in the day of the cup. We're in the day of the well. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus told a little old lady one day, he asked her for a drink, and she said, well, how is it that you're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan. You're asking a Samaritan for a drink? And Jesus said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him for a drink. And she said, you don't even have anything to draw with. This well's deep. And Jesus said, the water I'm talking about, He said, if you drink the water I'm talking about, you'll never thirst again. And she thought he was being a smart aleck, and she said, give me some of that water. But by the time she left there, she had it. And the Bible said she ran through the streets of the city, and she was said, come and see a man that told me everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. He exceeds your expectations. Nobody can tell you how good God is. Nobody can explain to you how wonderful the Holy Ghost is. Amen. You just got to try it for yourself. And I'm opening this altar tonight. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues, this is your opportunity. You need to rush down here as fast as you can. Raise your hands to God. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Please forgive me, Jesus. I want a new life. I want to start over again. I'm like Bartimaeus. I want to get rid of that old coat and that old life. I want a new life tonight, Jesus. Amen. You promised me the Holy Ghost. Begin to thank Him and praise Him for the Holy Ghost. And you can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Anybody ready? Hallelujah. Anybody ready to trade in your cup for a well here tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's better than what you expect. Come on to Jesus right now. Come on, folks. Let's gather around here and pray tonight. Amen. If you need something from the Lord, come and get it. If you don't need anything, come praising Him for what you've already received. Come thanking Him for what you already have. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One fellow was praying and he was getting such a blessing from the Lord. He just felt like he couldn't stand it. So he just said, Lord, I can't stand anymore. I can't take anymore, Lord. I've got all I can handle. I can't take anymore. And he said, turn it off, Lord. Turn it off. And his brother said, oh, no, don't turn it off, God. Increase His capacity.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever ask God to turn anything off. Just ask Him to increase your capacity so you can handle more. Amen. Let's ask Him to do that here tonight. Jesus, help me to be bigger. Help me to be better. Help me to be stronger. Help me to be more like You. I'm not asking You to turn anything off because I need everything that You can give me tonight. I need
everything
that You can give
me. He cannot do.
Oh, I need it all,
Jesus. Anything,
exceed
anything
our expectations here tonight.
He can do,
do more than we bargained for.
God can do anything.
Hallelujah.
Anything and everything. There is nothing that He cannot do.
Come on.
God can do anything.
Let's just open up. Let
anything and everything.
He's ready. He's ready.
God can heal anything.
Come in.
Anything and everything.
He's ready.
There is nothing
He's able.
That He cannot
He's
do.
Willing.
God
Amen.
Can heal anything.
Abundantly.
Anything and
above
everything.
All,
he can do
able to
anything
faith.
But there.
According to the power of
oh, and God can do anything. Anything and
hallelujah,
everything.
Hallelujah.
There is nothing that He cannot do. God can do anything. Anything and everything. He can do anything but faith. Oh, and God can do